Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
As well as a few enemies, stoppers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. All, of course, all you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Ken Brown. I'm filling in for Bradley today. He's away on some business. And glad to be with you. Looking forward to maybe even being with you again next week. So if you want to check us out online, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And also sonsoflibertymedia.com. We'll be going over there in just a moment. sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also follow Bradley on Facebook at Bradley Dean, Bradley Dean on Facebook, or Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook, and Sons of Liberty Media on Facebook. Lots of places where you can interact with the show. And I want to take you over to the website, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And first of all, just to remind you, we are about a month and a half away from giving away a brand new Joshua MK5 ARAK hybrid. Now, Bradley hints on this, calling it a beautiful weapon. It is, and very accurate. It's made by your friend, my friend up here in Arden, North Carolina, Amendment Arms. And Tom, who's the general manager, and Ryan, who is the developer of the gun, have graciously given us one. You can go on the website, sonsoflibertymedia.com, scroll down just a little bit on the right, and you'll see a picture of it. Click on it. Go to the page, and there is a sign-up form there where you can enter to win this weapon that we're going to give away on tax day. So throw your name in the hat, and by the time, I mean, your chances are definitely more for winning this gun than they are winning the lottery, I can assure you that. So head on over to sonsoflibertymedia.com and sign up to win that gun. Again, we'll be giving away on tax day this year, which I just heard on the news they're having a lot of trouble filling out everybody's taxes. I can't understand why that would be unless it might be some unconstitutional law concerning Obamacare. But over at sonsoflibertymedia.com, Bradley's article is up for today, Chris Kyle's Murder and Psychotropic Drugs. And in that, he goes down through some of what is going on in the Chris Kyle murder case and how the drugs with Eddie Ray Ralph were used, and points back even into our history the danger of some of these psychotropic drugs that are being even given to our kids and what that has resulted in. So check that out on sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, if you will check out Comedian Blows Gun Grabbers Away About Second Amendment, Stephen Crowder gives liberals an interesting education on the history of the Second Amendment, what it's supposed to be about. And sadly, in our day, the ignorance of what the Second Amendment is about is just astounding. people do not understand down to the very unalienable right, even the duty and the responsibility that men have to keep and bear arms in the preservation of a free state, not just a militia, but if you read the second part of the Second Amendment, it says the right of the people shall not be infringed. Government has no business infringing upon the duties we have as Americans, specifically as Christians, to protect and defend those around us. We look at other countries where they are not afforded this protection under their governments. Their governments have taken their weapons from them. We saw in Nazi Germany, it wasn't just guns. It was any kind of instrument that could be used as a weapon, batons, truncheons, anything that people were restricted from having. Our government was supposed to have chains put on it to say, no, you can't write, regulate, or restrict anything regarding to arms. And yet, what is our government doing today? They're doing those exact same things. And when they can't get it through the front door, what do? They go on the back door. They start dealing with the things such as ammunition that we've seen recently. So check out that video by Stephen Crowder that's on sonsofliberty.com. Also, Samantha Jones pledges allegiance, and she means it. We've given you the story about Samantha before, but I think you'll enjoy the way Alfonso Rachel presents this story in his video presentation. Also at sonsoflibertymedia.com, article that I put up this morning, a brother of two of the brothers that were beheaded by the Islamic State last week. The 21 Christians that were beheaded by the Islamic State, praise for them. Praise for them. You really need to check that out, because a lot of times what I hear from Christians is this. Well, we just need to pray for them, and that's where they stop. They miss the entire sphere of how God works, and I think you'll appreciate, I believe you pronounce this guy's name, Bashir Kamel, you'll appreciate what he has to say. Because though he prays that God would open their eyes and that he would save them, he was also behind the authority that has been given by God to those who are in charge in Egypt to strike back at the Islamic State. And so too often times we want to, as Christians, I hear they want to take the sword out of the hand of God's minister when it is to punish evildoers in Romans 13. And oftentimes, they'll talk about praying, but you really don't hear them praying for the salvation of other men, of other sinners who need the redemptive work of Christ in their life as well. So you'll want to check out that. A brother of brothers beheaded by Islamic State prays, dear God, please open their eyes to be saved. And it's very reminiscent of the great reformer William Tyndale, Bible translator, as he prayed a very similar thing about the king as he was about to be martyred. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com, we have White House Dawa Summit on Countering Jihad. Countering Violent Extremism opens with Muslim prayer. I don't know what to say. I have friends who still believe, oh, Barack Obama he's not a Muslim. This and I've never heard him renounce Islam, ever. And we know he was labeled a Muslim by his school records in Indonesia. We know that. So, hang on. We'll be back in a little bit. I want to cover a couple of things that's going to be coming up and on sonsoflibertymedia.com. And then we're going to get into something about how Islam is woven into the fabric of our country. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. Or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I want to head back over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, just kind of finish out what we've got up so far. I was making mention of this summit on countering violent extremism, opening with Muslim prayer. There was no Christian prayer there. There was Muslim prayers. And as Bradley's been pointing out, as the scriptures talk about, where God will bring in the foreigners and appoint them over you if you turn away from him, that is what we're seeing, the infiltration of Islam. Also, over sonsoflibertymedia.com, hey, Obama, here's how Islam was woven into the fabric of our country. It's called the Barbary Wars. The Barbary Wars, a lot of you are familiar with that. Some of you are not, so we're going to look at that shortly. And rounding out our articles that we have up currently, larceny isn't so grand. That's on the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. Eric Rush has a contribution, Obama feeds the cult of stupidity. And nobody can say it just like Eric does. A great contributor on sonsoflibertymedia.com. And then finally, Obama's State Department claims a terrorist is a Christian, but the particular one they're pointing out, Joseph Kony, was funded by a Muslim state sponsor of terrorism that worked for Obama's brother. Check all those out at sonsoflibertymedia.com. But today I want to kind of go through some history here, some history that our third president, Thomas Jefferson, dealt with. Islam and Islamic terrorism is not new to the 20th century. No, America didn't start dealing with it at 9/11. This goes back much further. Islam's been around for over a millennia. It's been a problem throughout the world. And we've heard recently Obama come up and try to tie Islamic terrorism. Of course, he isn't calling it that. He's calling it something else, he says, whatever ideology these guys hold to. But he's just petrified to call it Islam. This has been around for some time. But understand something. Here's where a lot of conservatives in America are missing it. They think Barack Hussein Obama is a buffoon. They think he's a moron. They think he is stupid. But he's not. He's doing exactly what he wants. And he's not getting any challenge, real challenge, from anybody. You would think a man in the position he's in would have already had articles of impeachment against him. But he doesn't. He's a stealth jihadist who entertains our enemies in our White House. He funds them. He trains them. He gives your money to them. And then he has the audacity to identify Christians as the problem and create a fictitious history of America by claiming, here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. And the truth is, Islam has been a part of our history. Not really a part of the fabric of our country, but definitely a part of our history. So what I'm talking about is the Barbary Wars. And I wonder how many people have heard about it. How America had to deal with Islam following her founding. I wonder if they even considered the words and actions of Thomas Jefferson as the third president of the United States, especially since his sense of reading their own text from the Quran and knowing just what his enemies thought. So let's take a stroll down memory lane and expose what Obama is saying as a lie. First, keep in mind that Islam and terrorism have gone hand in hand since its inception at the beginning of the 7th century. In fact, its founder, Muhammad, was a terrorist. He used religion to band his merry men together to conquer, rape, and pillage. This is documented history. This is what I said. If you want to deal with Islam against the taqiya claim or the deceptive claim that it is a religion of peace, all you have to do is go back to the founder, Muhammad. And you ask, was he a peaceful man or was he a terrorist? Well, as soon as you answer that question, you answer what Islam is at its heart. For nearly 15 centuries, the world had faced the disease of Islam. But our nation faced it head on when Thomas Jefferson, serving as the ambassador to France, and John Adams, serving as the ambassador to Britain, went to London to meet with Ambassador Abdurrahman Haman, the day of Tripoli's ambassador to Britain. Of course, they met with him to negotiate a peace treaty. Okay? They met with him to negotiate a peace treaty. But keep in mind that Islam, the only peace, is submission. And that's submission to Islam. Islam requires a jizya. It is a tax under Sharia law. You know, that little harmless law that is supposedly wanting to be enforced here in the West. Well, we looked at some of that as they set up a Sharia tribunal down in Texas, and they're wanting to talk about now just marriages and divorces. But you can rest assured that Sharia encompasses a lot more than that. The jizya is a per capita tax levied on a section of an Islamic state's non-Muslim citizens who meet certain criteria. And this tax is and was to be levied on all able-bodied adult males of military age and affording power. So, as Adams and Jefferson met, guess what? They found out the price of peace was pretty expensive. Gary DeMar of American Vision writes, if America wanted temporary peace, a one-year guarantee would cost $66,000 plus a 10% commission. This was at the time, just before they were dealing with the Barbary Pirates. Everlasting peace was a bargain at only 160 grand plus the obligatory commission. This only applied to Tripoli. Other Muslim nations would also have to be paid. The amount came to $1.3 million, but there was no assurance that the treaties would be honored. In vain, Jefferson and Adams tried to argue that America was not at war with Tripoli. In what way had the U.S. provoked the Muslims? They asked. The ambassador went on to explain the finer points of Islamic jihad to the Quranically challenged Jefferson and Adams. Okay? Now, understand something. These guys didn't really understand Islam at the time. And so they're saying, well, we're not at war with Tripoli. We're not at war with Islam. Sound familiar? And yet, this ambassador says, well, you need to understand something. The prophet says, this is what we're entitled to you from you, because you're not Muslims. How do I know that? Jefferson then wrote a letter to John Jay. And here's what he wrote, quote, "The ambassador answered us that it was founded on the laws of their prophet," that's Muhammad, "that it was written in their Quran that all nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim who should be slain in battle was sure to go to paradise." Now, what is he basing that on? Well, Jefferson was one who actually got the Quran, and since he didn't have a central intelligence agency telling him what was going on here, he decided to find out for himself, and he read it. And he read passages like Surah 47:4. "Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, smite at their necks. At length, when you have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly. Thereafter, either generosity or ransom until the war lays down its burdens. Thus, but if it had been Allah's will, he could certainly have exacted retribution from them. But in order to test you, some with others, but those who are slain in the way of Allah, he will never let their deeds be lost." So what did they find out? They found out that their quote-unquote holy book, and there was really, instead of a religion of peace, it was a religion of war. It was a political ideology that was being espoused. And it was being espoused against non-Muslims for the benefit of Muslims. And what happened? The U.S., along with Great Britain and France, paid a tribute for protection against piracy. Once Tripoli increased the tribute, though, following Jefferson becoming president, he refused to pay. And he didn't until the end of his presidency. And what happened? Tripoli declared war on the United States. May 10th, 1801 is when that began. This was the beginning of the first Barbary War. So we need to understand where America stands against Islam. I think the people stand against it. I think our leaders are out deceiving us. We'll be right back.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House. The gold standard and long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze-Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze-Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Sons of Liberty. Picking up where we left off, understand that Jefferson opposed a navy being used in a matter other than providing coastal defense. Our Constitution clearly had in there for a navy to defend our coast. And many of the founding fathers opposed the standing army. So when there's this paying of this tribute, one needs to understand this was not the numbers that I gave out just a little while ago would probably be sort of a drop in the bucket to where we are now. But you need to understand something, that by the last year of Washington's presidency, there was 16% of the federal budget that was spent on these extortion payments. Okay? Understand that. 16% of the federal budget was paid to these Muslim countries. And so Jefferson saw that. He was opposed to it. And as Gerald W. Gewalt writes, he gives us some insight into Jefferson and this jizya, or this tribute payment, from those countries that were not Muslim. Listen to what he writes. After the United States won its independence in the Treaty of 1783, it had to protect its own commerce against dangers such as the Barbary pirates. As early as 1784, Congress followed the tradition of the European shipping powers and appropriated $80,000 as tribute to the Barbary states, directing its ministers in Europe, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, to begin those negotiations. Now, when they found out about it, what did they do? Well, they were against it. They didn't want to do it. They found out what was going on with Islam. They found out why these people were doing it. They thought they were superior. They thought that their God had said that they're within their rights, and it's their very duty to take advantage of this. And it's not just this jizya, folks. You're wondering why You read stories about these Islamists, the ones who actually take the Quran serious, taking sex slaves and raping women and killing children and beheading men and doing all of these atrocities that they're doing. It's because they think they're entitled to it. They think anyone who is not Muslim is beneath them. Now, I realize there's many professed Muslims in the West who don't think like that. And I would have to question them and say, do you even know what the Quran teaches on these things? Because if they're honest about it, they would have to read the text to point these things out. We've written on them. There are several articles that we've done concerning that. However, how are we to deal with it? How did Thomas Jefferson deal with it? I mean, I was speaking with Bradley yesterday. We're sending our sons and daughters over in the Middle East. We're tying their hands with rules of engagement so they cannot deal with the enemy. And then we won't even identify the ideology of the enemy. It is Islam. It is Islam. And unlike the State Department, the problem is not they don't have enough jobs. I'll tell you what the first problem is. Romans 1. They have denied the true and living God, and they have fashioned a God in their own image. Think about what their God offers them. Their God offers them all the indulgences of the flesh. While he denies them alcohol here, you can have as much wine as you want, and I'm not a teetotaler, but you can have as much wine as you want and just indulge yourself in the afterlife of paradise. You can have all of these virgins, and as we talked about before, some of them aren't women. You can indulge in these things. This is what their God offers them. And what's the sure way that you can get into that paradise? What's the sure way you can find Allah's favor? Well, you can die in jihad. So go destroy the image of God, and here are the things that are before you. Very reminiscent of the temptation that Jesus faced when Satan took him up on the hill and said, look at all the kingdoms, I'll give you these, just bow down to me. A very similar kind of temptation. I'll give you all the things that you're supposed to be denied in this life if you'll just do this. And this is what they do. But understand, concerning this issue, there wasn't a standing army. There were militia. We see that in the Second Amendment. That was provided for. Men of 18 and older were to have their guns and their ammunition and everything useful for fighting to keep a free state. But what did they do? How did they deal with these Barbary pirates? They did something that we don't even talk about that's in our Constitution. Congress issued letters of marque and reprisal. And you know what they did? Those incorporated privately owned warships. Oh, did you get that? Privately owned warships. The founding fathers didn't have a problem with people being armed with a warship. So when Pierce Morgan and people like him say, do you want a tank? Really? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how you deal with this. So these guys in Congress issued letters of marque and reprisal. Privately owned warships went to make battle on behalf of the United States against the Barbary pirates. They had kidnapped our men. They were extorting us for money. And they didn't have an army they were going to send over there and tie their hands and stuff. They're like, yeah, go get them, guys. And they sent them to fight the pirates, get the people back. And so he utilized a constitutional measure, which we're not using today. You understand that? He was going to at least hold to the authority that was given him there and allow private citizens to be given letters of marque and reprisal by the government to fight on the government's behalf. And the private citizens were more than willing to go do it. In doing this, he sent for these privateers. That's how they were referred to. He sent the frigates USS Philadelphia, the USS President, and the USS Essex, along with the schooner USS Enterprise, which is America's first navy, to cross the Atlantic. And there would be others who would join as well. Ultimately, in 1805, the United States Marines crossed the desert from Egypt into Tripolitania, as it was referred to then, forced the surrender of Tripoli, and free the Americans that had been kidnapped and who were made slaves to the Islamists. That's our Marines. So if you're wondering in that little song, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, that's where it comes from. It comes from the United States Marine Corps going and doing battle against the Islamists. It's also ironic that the first Muslim elected to Congress, Representative Keith Ellison, he took his oath of office on Thomas Jefferson's Quran. And what's even more interesting is he did it at a time when everybody knows who's paying any attention. We're at war with Islam. We're not at war with Islamic extremists. We're at war with Islam. These people believe what they read. He took his oath on Thomas Jefferson's Quran, and Ellison said Jefferson was a quote-unquote visionary. He was a visionary. Why? Because he had a Quran? Lots of people have Quran. Lots of people use it in Christian apologetics so they can point out exactly what the Quran teaches. Some people read it because they want to know the national security issues and what these people believe. And that's exactly why Jefferson had one. He wanted to know how his enemy thought, why his enemy did what he did. And so he was wise enough to read it and understand what his enemy thought, what he believed, and how he was to respond out of his own book of jihad. Jefferson wasn't wanting to engage in the practice of Islam. He wanted to defeat it. Today, many would rather listen to the lies of Islamists rather than understand what the Quran actually teaches. After all, it's been said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Now, if we take that in what's going on today, look at how Jefferson handled the Islamists of his day, the Mohammedans. And look at how we handle them today. I think there's two battlefronts that we handle Islam on in America. The first one, for the Christian, is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if the heart is converted, the person will follow Christ. And so we preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who came to save sinners from their sins, including idolaters. And not just the way Christianity is promoted today, where it says, oh, just come to Jesus as you are and leave as you are. But one where, as the picture is given us in Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian approaches the cross, and as he approaches the cross, he falls on his knees. And his burden of sin rolls off his back. It rolls into the sin, and he's made a new man. That's the first place where we fight. And Christians, we need to be dealing with that, with Muslims and any other unbelievers, bringing them the gospel of Christ that saves. I'll be back in a minute, and I'll tell you about the second one when we come back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Ted Brough with healthmasters.com. I'm also the sub-host on the Power Hour. Bradley's a man of integrity. He's got an incredible ministry. He goes all over the country speaking to high schools on constitutional issues. He's been featured in over 350 different high schools in 24 states. He believes that we should all follow the Constitution. I agree with him. He's also a very, very strong Christian.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
It's happening again. The feds are trying to ban your freedom to own body armor. In January, a newly introduced bill, H.R. 378, will take away your right to buy level 3 and higher body armor. Katie Armor offers the most affordable level 3 body armor packages on the market today. Protect yourself. Buy your body armor now before it's too late. Go to katiearmor.com. That's C-A-T-I-armor.com. Come and take it.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I want to pick up this final segment and really focus on the solutions here. Because as Bradley tells you, we don't want to just point out where the problems are. We want to bring resolve and we want to bring a solution. And in this matter, there is a solution to be brought by individuals, and there's a solution that needs to be brought by the ministers of God who are in authority. And as I pointed out as we were finishing out the last segment, there's something for us as individuals, as Christians, are the weapons of our warfare, as Scripture says, are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're to cast down imaginations, the Apostle Paul says, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're to be ready to give a hope and a defense of our faith, as Peter writes. And so how do we deal with Islam? How do we deal with those, whether they seriously hold it and they're kind of kept in check by our laws currently, or whether they're people who just take the name? They're much like the Christians in name only. They kind of say they're Christians. They know a few Bible verses out of context, but they don't want to live for Christ. And maybe they're a Muslim in name only. Maybe they've been brought up in a Muslim home, and they know maybe a few Quranic verses, but they really don't know what Islam teaches. In either case, the issue is the same. First of all, we've got to acknowledge, and we have to deal with the fact that Islam is an antichrist religion. And I mean that in the fullest sense of the biblical terms. John tells us what antichrist is. He says in 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And Islam does that because they say God has no son. He can't have a son. He can't come in the flesh. John goes on to write in 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. That's what John writes. Many deceivers at the time he wrote. I mean, a lot, everybody's trying to play pin the tail on the Antichrist, you know, looking for a last day thing, and people have been doing that for a long time. And I believe in the judgment of God. I believe there is a day coming of judgment. There will be a final day and resurrection and judgment, just as the church has expressed throughout its history. But instead of focusing on that, they leave behind the Christ. They leave behind the doctrines that keep them safe and that point them in the right direction. And John says, even at the time he's writing, first century, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Islam preaches antichrist because they are that. And so we've got to call people to the Christ. You know, there were lots of prophets who came, who were killed by the religious hypocrites of their day, and later they would be exalted by the generations down from them. And we know they're not dead. We know they're still alive. Jesus met with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. But I can tell you one thing. Muhammad is dead. He is rotted. He abides under the wrath of God today. But Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and so are those who are in Him. Now, that's the first way that we deal with it. And I suggest we try to deal with it that way because Christ is ruling and reigning now, friend. He's not waiting to do that out in the future. He's been doing it all along. The New Testament confirms this. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that he will continue to rule and reign and put his enemies under his feet until the end. And when that happens, then he'll deliver up the kingdom to his Father. Period. That's what's going on now. And you and I get to play a part in that in the presentation of the gospel. But there's also a part that has to be played by the ministers of God in the civil sphere. And Romans 13 tells us that they are ministers of God. They are supposed to be doing the will of God. That's what they're supposed to do. According to righteousness, not according to unrighteousness. When they do it according to unrighteousness, what happens? We see tyranny. And so instead of making excuses for the actions of Islam and for the actions of those who follow Islam, why is our government covering it up? Why are they lying to us saying it's a religion of peace? Why will they not identify the ideology of the enemy? Why? Well, you could come to the same conclusion that I have, and that is they believe in the same ideology. They believe in the same ideology. They certainly don't have a problem bringing Christianity up, do they? We saw Obama do that at the National Prayer Breakfast the other week. We saw a State Department spokesperson, Marie Harf, bring it up this week. And even in bringing it up, he goofed it. He mentioned a guy claiming he's a Christian when he's funded by a Muslim state sponsor of terrorism. How does that work? Everybody knows who knows the scripture knows that Christians call that out. We call it out. Muslims don't. For the most part, they're silent. And so when we have these things that we're dealing with, we do it on two fronts. God's kingdom is established in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he said all authority in heaven and on earth has already been committed to him. That's within the church and that's in the civil sphere. And there are too many people today who say, no, 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 we don't need to be involved in politics. We don't need to be holding up the righteousness that God demands and holding up the law and bringing justice here. We don't need to be pushing that towards our leaders and saying, this is what you're supposed to do. And then they're crying about the culture going into the rot and decay it's going into. Well, I can tell you why. Because you're not being honest with what God has said ought to be happening within the civil sphere. You relegate it all to the church. You say, well, this only applies to the church. It doesn't apply to anybody outside. And yet God has given a command that all men everywhere should repent. He's told us that he is the one who established his authority. And so we should back both of those. We should back our individual responsibility to carry and preach the gospel to the lost. And then we should also encourage those who are our representatives to administer the sword out of righteousness and justice. It works twofold. It's not an either and. It's an either or. It's a both and. And so when we're dealing with these issues that we're dealing with today, understand, as most of you do, we are dealing with a corrupt government, but it's corrupt because it's left God. It's left its principles. And you know why it's left that? Because the church has left hers. She's left her first love. We see that in men like Rob Bell, who I wrote about earlier this week. This man is an apostate. He was a former pastor in a church, and now he's saying the church needs to embrace the redefinition of marriage to include practicing sodomites. Friends, God says that's an abomination. How can his people embrace it? His people can't. A professed church, they can, and they have. But God's people can never embrace that. It is an abomination. And we speak out against it because we love people. Not because we hate them. We do it because we want to turn them. In the same manner I look at my child and I say, you're doing something wrong, and I discipline you first with my words, and then if need be, I use corporal punishment. But the main thing is to direct them towards where they need to be going because we love them. We don't want them to suffer the consequences for their actions, which are evil. We want them to do what is right and what is good before God. We want them to honor him as the old catechism says. We want them to enjoy God forever. So think about these things. Consider where our government is. Consider your place to speak out, not bellyaching complain, but to speak out on the issue. Don't give up. The victory is within our grasp if we'll stand firm. We love you by what we do, 1 John 3:18, and hopefully Bradley will be back with you tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Take care.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653.